Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 6th of June, recording at 9:35 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, this is my first audio for a while, having just returned from holiday today, but there's certainly plenty to talk about, even though I haven't had a chance to fully catch up yet. But first, let's have a quick review of what happened here today. Asian stock markets, where they are open, were open, mostly a little bit lower, although that includes a very steady ASEAN sector, and that's been the case really for a number of months. But Japan, for instance, the Nikkei was down 1.18%. European stock markets closed mostly lower, moderate declines. The UK bucked the trend, managed a very small gain of 8 points on the FTSE index. The Americas were a bit weaker, with Wall Street closing not far off its lows. That's down just over 1% for the NASDAQ and also the S&P 500 index. And Brazil fell more sharply, falling nearly 2%. And Mexico and Canada had declines of approximately 1.25% to 1.5% respectively. Long-dated government bond prices were slightly easier in the USA, although well off the lows, because the stock market had seesawed around the unchanged level before weakening. And gold price is currently $1,544.85. Now that's up $2.90, but it was $9 higher at one stage here today, and we had a significant retracement of gains in other precious metals. Although silver managed to close, or it's trading after hours now, up 53 cents at 36.72, and palladium's got a modest gain. Platinum reversed an earlier rise. It had rallied up to 18.34, but is currently at 18.12 and 60 cents. Crude oil fell back. The WTI is at 98.86. And the Brent, which really is more important because that is more reflective of global oil conditions, is at 114.24, so that's down $1.60. Industrial metals were mixed, though I noticed that, yes, they were mixed, and copper reversed an earlier gain here today. And the main story in the soft commodities is quite a sharp reaction in the grain and bean complex. We had some sharpish falls there. So for the most part, we saw weakness in the commodity markets. Now, I didn't cover currencies, but the U.S. dollar is slightly steadier on the dollar index. It's up a little bit against the euro. The euro slipped back to 145.73. Sterling slipped back to 163.55. Still range bound. And greenback's unchanged against the Australian dollar, 107.17. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, let's just have a quick review here, because back sort of 2.75 years to 2.5 years ago, when Wall Street fell so sharply, well, global stock markets, I should say, fell so sharply in the fourth quarter of 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, in response to what turned out to be a very severe banking crisis in the West. And as a consequence of that, investors were discounting what they felt was a severe recession. That was certainly the case in the West, although not in the growth economies of the world, such as led by China and India. And many investors, particularly in the West, also feared that we would actually see a global depression. There were many forecasts of that, as you will recall. Well, fortunately, global depressions are extremely rare events. As it turned out, the growth economies only experienced growth slowdowns. But central banks threw a tremendous amount of liquidity at the whole financial system just to ensure that people didn't talk themselves into a depression. And that worked to an extent. It certainly reflated stock markets, and we had a terrific year through the from 2Q 2009 through that year and through most of 2010, punctuated by that April to end of August correction, which was the sharpest correction of the cyclical bull market. And then we had another run from that August 2010, or I should really starting in September 2010, ran on up into this year. Very strong performance by stock markets. And the background environment, lots of liquidity, was helping to push markets higher. Corporate profits were doing well. Corporate balance sheets, certainly for the big multinational companies, were in generally excellent shape overall. But all that liquidity and the global economic recovery that we were seeing combined to revive that commodity super cycle, which saw a big setback in 2008 and early 2009. And what I frequently described as the best opportunity, but also destined to become the next big problem, commodity prices did too well. In fact, and not least crude oil, which is the most important commodity of all. It didn't have the biggest percentage gain, but it certainly had a major advance, and that was exacerbated by the so-called Arab uprising, loss of Libya's production, and a lot of speculative activity in terms of money flowing into investor and private institutional investor and private investor money flowing into the commodity sector. And it created a condition which several months ago I started describing as a tug of war or a scrum that the commodity markets would eventually win. In other words, the inflation pressures would get the upper hand. That spike in crude oil has always caused. And it was a moderate spike in crude oil, but it was certainly sufficient to cause a global economic slowdown. Fast forward to today, that's exactly what we see. That's what investors are discounting in many stock markets around the world. And we have what is so far a mini replay of that April to end of August. Of course, we're only in the second week here, really, of not quite the second week of June. But say a mini replay of that corrective phase that we saw from April through August in 2010. Now, that was for the for Wall Street and many of the other Western markets. The growth economies led by the ASEAN sector and a number of the resources markets did considerably better and bottomed earlier on. and started to push higher. Now, this corrective phase shows no evidence that it's over at this stage, and while much of it has involved mean reversion as forecast to the rising 200-day moving averages, which are a good approximation of the medium-term overall uptrends. What the veteran subscribers will recall, and you can also see this by looking at by reviewing a number of weekly charts with those 200-day moving averages that we post so frequently. And a lot of these corrective phases end with a little bit of capitulation. In other words, the selling becomes a little bit more active. Investor sentiment deteriorates during those phases. So you get some capitulation. And occasionally, given the number of corrections that occur, mostly it's a moderate amount of or a small amount of capitulation, but occasionally we get the big bear market cycles where there's a great deal of capitulation. Okay, so which one will this prove to be? Well, my expectation and the odds I would suggest favor a modest to moderate amount of capitulation if we see that, and the worst case scenario I think would be what some people would describe as a small sort of short-lived bear market phase. Why not worse than that? Well, I certainly don't think we're going to have anything on the scale of the overall Western banking crisis that we saw in 2008, but bank shares are currently weak, and they still have some toxic assets on their books. It's not a sector that we have liked at all, as investors know, but it is a sector that we look to as a lead indicator. And really, from the U.S. stock markets to Japan, bank indices, for the most part, are not doing that well. There are some exceptions, and they're mostly in Asia, where the banking sectors are firmer, and some of them are actually outperforming their overall indices. But in terms of global market moves, again, we are very influenced by what Wall Street's actually doing because of the Wall Street leash effect, being the largest market in capitalization terms by far. It casts a long shadow, and sometimes it casts a favorable ray of light. And Wall Street had held up quite well, but is beginning to deteriorate in here after a late May rally that began to reverse quite dramatically 4 days ago. So I think we're still very much in this corrective phase. It's a difficult time here to make money. Had I not been away on holiday, I like to think that I would have established some more hedge shorts in futures markets, in stock market futures indices, I should say, during that late May rally. This is not a time when I really want to do very much. I'm not inclined to dump a number of positions in here, although, as I've said all along, I wouldn't be surprised to see some further drawdown on positions, and there'll also be a few pleasant surprises in markets that hold up better than one might have initially feared. But the important point is I'm not ready to rush in with new buying orders just yet. And a somewhat bigger correction, well, the silver lining of that is that it does create good buying opportunities. And That would certainly draw me back into the stock market to use some of the cash reserves that I have to invest in some of the favored Fuller Money themes. Now, that's me, but everyone else has a somewhat different portfolio, at least, and may well have a different investment outlook or different investment requirements, not least the investment managers. And for active managers who are hands-on and trying to outperform their respective indices in this environment, I'm sure you've already seen that it's the defensive sectors that are outperforming here. And one example, for instance, I commented, and I'll post charts for one such share, which is an unglamorous company, but Drax, the coal-fired power station, yields almost 7% and sells under 10 times earnings. If I was actively managing an equity portfolio, that's the type of share that I would be holding or adding to. But as I can sit back here and watch and wait, and if we get a bigger correction, then I can go back into some of the Fuller Money favorites, including some of the positions, a number of the positions, or positions that are similar to the ones that are already in my long-term equity portfolio. But I will just wrap up this discussion of stock markets by saying that this is still a corrective phase. This is still therefore a short-term risky environment, and I'm not inclined to do much right now. Looking at the long-dated government bonds, there's an interesting graphic in the weekly view produced by Rod Stewart and Rod Smith, I beg your pardon. Rod Stewart was the wonderful actor, but by Rod Smith and Co. from the Riverfront Investment Group. And it shows sentiment for, in terms of long-dated government bond futures in the U.S., getting up into the overly optimistic zone. And they have had a good rally. But I wouldn't expect much in the way of a sell-off while stock markets are under pressure. Looking at the precious metals, they have held up extremely well. There's obviously a lot of interest there. They all remain in overall upward trends despite a fairly sharp corrective phase overall. Gold in particular is very steady in just about every currency. We maintain that there's no evidence that this very important secular bull market is over. The only question I have in my mind is, will we have a quiet ranging period, perhaps another moderate pullback during this period, which I've described as seasonally less attractive for precious metals. That's based, of course, on historic observation. commence a stronger run really in September through the fourth quarter and into the new year, as we've seen on so many other occasions. Well, I would expect gold to be higher by the end of the year than it is now, and it could be significantly higher. And the only question in my mind, and I don't have the answer to this, is will we get an additional pullback? I think there's quite a good chance that we could, But it's not something that I would sell in anticipation of if I held a gold bullion fund. I tend to trade the futures, and at the moment I'm inclined to hold off and wait a little longer in this time cycle. But I'll be surprised if I'm not fully long at some point in August and September, or as fully long as I'm prepared to be at this stage of what is a terrific move. Sure, I still like gold here at $1,545, but I liked it a whole lot more when it was a good deal lower, and we didn't have a consensus that gold was a great investment overall. Also, I think that the interest that we see in gold today is also another a signal that investors are currently nervous about inflation. They're nervous about growth, so it's retreating to some of the demand for gold. It's a retreat to what has been a safe haven here for a considerable period of time. That's been a good move overall, but if we get a little bit of capitulation selling in equities either this month or in the July, August, September period, that could easily weigh on sentiment in the precious metals sector as well. Now, last but not least, well, but one, I haven't said much on currencies here right now, but let me do that first. The US dollar had a modest rally underway when I went on holiday. That's been retraced. We've seen at least a 50% retracement of that against a number of currencies here overall. Bottom line here is that the dollar is still somewhat oversold, but also it remains a suspect currency in most investors' eyes. Now, the most important, going back to the commodities, the most important one to watch by far is crude oil. And again, I would say that the WTI is not the crucial price to look at. WTI, well, I'm pleased to see that back below $100 once again. The Brent price, which is currently $16 higher, that, as I said earlier on, that's the one that's more indicative of the tightness of the oil market at this time. And if that were to spike higher, and I'm hoping it won't, and I don't think it will, but that risk is higher than I would like it to be. That would certainly cause problems, and we would certainly get a bigger corrective phase in stock markets. And I think that crude oil does need to move lower. And commodity markets generally, a sell-off in the commodity sector from current levels, this is something I've mentioned before in many, many audios, that would be a favorable background. That combined with a slower GDP growth would remove some of the upward pressure on interest rates that we've seen in the growth economies. And that combined with somewhat lower valuations in stock markets would create the conditions for renewed strength. But we're not there yet, and we have to wait for that. And on that note, well, it's good to be back and recording audios again and writing copy and discussing with you and seeing your emails this fascinating market environment overall. All the best.